Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children. And by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education today.
Welcome, welcome to Education Currents. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I'm here with Stephen Arterburn, and he is the founder and chairman of New Life Ministries. This is the nation's largest faith-based broadcast counseling and treatment ministry with over 10 million books in print. Steve is a nationally known public speaker and a best-selling author who holds degrees from Baylor University, the University of North Texas, and has obtained two honorary doctorate degrees. Steve is completing doctoral studies in Christian counseling and resides with his family in Carmel, Indiana. Did I say that all correct?
Pretty good. Yeah, I'd give you an A-plus on that.
I could hardly wait to interview you. I was disappointed when the initial interview fell through. So I really want to interview this person. 6 ways for men to thrive in midlife.
Yes.
We have never done a show on that,
yeah.
And it is so important.
I think so.
Because, well, more men, at least in my area of association, are right in that midlife.
Yeah.
Time, and I see some of the angst that they're going through and that their families are going through.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with the symptoms of a crisis.
Yeah. And I like to say that some men are truly in a midlife crisis. You could say that others are in a transition or a mid-course correction, not a full-blown crisis. But I would just say this, if you're beyond 40, all of a sudden, you're starting to, you might call it, be sad more often. But, we tend to minimize things and deny, and so your sadness might actually be a symptom of depression,
mm-hmm.
where your hormones, just a lot of different things working against you, you start to feel depressed a little bit more. And rather than be irritable, maybe you're just a pretty good guy, but with normal irritations. But rather than irritation now, you're starting to kind of lose your temper a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And lash out at some really nice people that you love. Maybe in the world of money, you start to do some things that are impulsive or irresponsible, and it's just not like you. And then in the area, I have to talk about this, sexual integrity. A lot of guys kind of to compensate for some doubts about themselves and some misgivings. Maybe you're all of a sudden more tempted to engage with some other woman or be attracted to. Or you're really stuck into pornography and you're not doing anything about it. Those are some of the signs that, hey, you've kind of moved away from the values you've had, and some of the troubling things about midlife are catching up with you. And if you're having those kinds of symptoms, this would be a great book for you, because you will either fall into that and hurt yourself, hurt people that really care about you and love you, including your kids, or you'll figure out how to thrive. You'll figure out how to be successful through this and let the midlife transition or crisis be the excuse to really become the man that you haven't been before, to go to another level up rather than sink into something that Satan would be quite happy to see you sink into.
You kind of used an analogy, and I'm not really good with anything football, but I think our listeners might appreciate seeing the analogy of the halftime as the midlife and the decisions.
Yeah. Well, a lot of stuff happens in a football game or basketball game or anything at halftime. And you see a lot of people that didn't do too well all of a sudden turn it around because they were given a different perspective. They had a great insight provided, or the coach really motivated them, and they turned it around and they go back and win. You also see some folks that did some really great stuff up until halftime, and they go in and that isn't what happens. They go back out and they lose the game because they were what I call arrogantly entitled. And if you aren't looking at the messages that you're listening to, things that you're doing in reaction to midlife, if you're not really paying attention, you can end up halftime being the beginning of a really crummy place in your life. And we don't want that for anybody.
Yes. Yeah, so did you go through a midlife?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that's why.
I mean, six ways for men to thrive in midlife. You don't actually, you know, it is not a crisis for everyone.
No, but everybody can do better in a few areas of their life. And, you know, I didn't have a crisis, but I had to make some adjustments. I had to realize some things about myself. And, you know, one thing that I, at the midlife point for me, I'd been just a drinker. I drank. And I never got a drunk driving or anything like that. But I noticed something, that when I was drinking wine and stuff, that I was drinking more than less. And that my tolerance for this stuff was going up. And so one day, I was thinking about that. Now, if this continues, I'm going to walk out of a restaurant sometime, and I'm going to get pulled over and all sorts of horrible things. So I just had this insight. I think I've had my share. And I know for some people you have to crash your car or you have to get a divorce or whatever. But that was what it was for me, was this insight that I've had my share. And so there was a correction that I needed to make, because if I didn't, I didn't know what the outcome of that was going to be. But I know it wouldn't have been good, because I've worked with alcoholics for years, and I knew there was one thing they all had in common, is they could drink a lot of alcohol. And that's how they got in trouble. And then, you know, one day they think, oh, this is no problem, I can drink so much. And then something happens strange. Mm-hmm. So that was a correction that I needed to make, to be sure that the second half of my life wasn't going to be controlled by alcohol and going through all of that. I needed to learn to connect with my wife in a different way. I'm kind of, let's see, if she were a superhero, she would be called maybe Wonder Word Woman. She can explain. She has a very high IQ. We have high IQ kids because of her. But she's very descriptive. And I'm more, if I was a superhero, I'd be Bullet Point Man. And this book is very bullet pointy, as you can see. It's really made for someone with attention deficit disorder like me. But I had to learn to communicate with her in a different way. And I had to go from thinking that the devil was in the details to discovering that the delight was in the details, and to get in tune with her, and to take that time, that nothing was more important than listening to her and then expressing to her how I felt and share my feelings and my day with her. I didn't do that in the early part of my life. So my life with her is better now, not worse, as a result of kind of seeing I need to make a midlife correction or mid-course correction.
So would you suggest then that couples shouldn't shy away from actually sitting down and reevaluating their relationship together and making some adjustments both ways?
Well, I'll tell you what I've learned about quality people and quality relationships. There are two words that start with R. To be reflective is really important. If you're just going through life from one thing to the other because you think you know what's the right thing to do every time, and you never sit down as an individual and be reflective. You know, my father was a great Christian man, but he was the least reflective man. He thought, hey, that's the past.
Yes.
You got to move on.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just think that was one minor thing that he had wrong. We need to reflect on what were our values? Have we veered off of those values? Have we made some mistakes? What could we learn from that? Well, you can do that as a couple too. let's just reflect a little bit about where we've come. Like my wife, if you were talking with her right now, you'd be much more interested in her than me. But I think she would tell you we've had an amazing year of growing more like this past year than most years. And that's because we stopped to look back and say, how'd we do this year? So reflective, to be a reflective couple and not afraid of that, really important. The other thing is the word repair. And I would say this, as Christian couples, we tend to fail in this area of repair. We don't want to talk about stuff that's uncomfortable. We don't know how to fix things or even be open to asking, what do we need to do to repair this part of our relationship that's not so strong? But our kids, especially if you've got homeschooled kids, they're around you a lot, and they're looking for what love looks like. And if you can't show them what love looks like, they're going to have a distorted view, mm-hmm. and they're going to play that out in their relationships. And one of the things that I ask couples to evaluate, if you're not going to evaluate anything else, evaluate this. There are a lot of different descriptions, biblical descriptions too, of love, agape love, eros, all these different things. But here's the kind of love that if you don't have, you're missing the Christian aspect of marriage, and it's compassionate love. If you don't have compassion for your spouse, what's wrong here? I mean, if you can't even see that this person is difficult because of something that developed that never got resolved, if you can't see that and have compassion, you're not going to reach to that person and say, honey, I don't know if you're aware of this, but some of the things that you're struggling with, they're not about us.
Yeah.
And I miss us. I think, you know, what you've told me about the way mom did this or the way your dad did that, let's go get some help together so we can get us back together. That's a way to repair versus you're horrible. I don't, you know, I'm yeah. not going to be with you anymore. Go away. Mm-hmm. That's not repair. So if we could start to talk about, you know, here's the way things were, here they are now, I miss us, let's work together, then maybe we, out of compassion, can humble ourselves, get help with this other person, because otherwise you're going to end up just being a critical person. Mm-hmm. And one of the things at, you know, we do a marriage conference, New Life does. It's an intensive, and it's over a weekend. 75% of the people that come say that if something doesn't happen that weekend, they're done. 95% wow. stay together, and they're glad that they are. In fact, you know, secular research shows that if you stay married versus divorce 5 years later, you're going to be happier than the people that divorce.
Yes.
And if you divorce and go on Match.com or something, they're going to match you together because mm-hmm. you have so much in common. Hey, look, they have the same number of kids and all this stuff. So just stay together and honor God.
Yeah.
And you can. But we have such great success in helping repair the worst situations. One of the things that we talk about is this thing of criticism. Because so many relationships are characterized by internal or vocal criticism. Here's something that we ask people to do. Give up your story about this other person. Because if you're running this story in your head of, well, he's always or she's always or, well, they didn't do this, you're not there. You're in the story, not present.
Yes.
And so
yes.
a guy that is feeling all this stuff in midlife, he's confused about what he feels, he can be running a story about why it's her fault, what she, you got to give that up. And you've got to connect here. But I say if the man is in midlife crisis and your role, you think your spiritual gift is criticism, you have to stop that. And people say, well, what about constructive criticism? Well, that's just criticism with a smile.
Yeah.
And it's not going to help. It doesn't help. It shuts a man down. It causes him to want to defend his territory.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to find a way to talk about things and communicate about things and come up with solutions to things rather than criticize.
So you say in your book you recalculate.
Yeah.
You recalculate your critical position, your critical attitude, your critical approach to everything.
Right.
You've got to recalculate that, both parties.
Both parties need to do that. Yeah, because if I'm criticizing you, then obviously I think I know better than you. I think that I have a way that's more powerful than you. And there's this old saying that of staying on my side of the street or working on my side of the street. And all it's saying is, okay, well, if I would just deal with me, there'd be so much work I could do. I might attract the attention of this other person. They might see that I've made some really good progress, and it might inspire them to change. The research also shows that criticizing a person, they shut down, you're not going to get what you want. But if you find what you can to affirm the good stuff. Now, I'm not talking about enabling like abuse, addiction, adult. No. But if you affirm what's affirmable, you try to be positive. You know, the Bible says, think on these things, these positive things. If you try to put that out there, you have a much greater chance of that person becoming the person you want them to be than if you think pointing out everything they do wrong is going to get there. It's just not.
Yeah. Well, we have to take a break right here. When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with 6 ways for men to thrive in midlife. We'll be right back.
Hello. Bullying is a serious problem. When a kid gets bullied, it hurts them inside, no matter what they look like on the outside. Kids kill themselves every day because of bullying. There are many types of bullying, like cyberbullying and in-your-face bullying. This is a serious problem. Those kids will remember it for all their lives if somebody could have helped them but didn't. If you see a kid get bullied, tell an adult or try to help them. It could save a life.
This Kids Talk moment was brought to you by Baltimore White Marsh Adventist School. For more information, go to www.bwmschool.org. That's bwmschool.org. Welcome back. I'm here with Steve Arterburn, and he's written this book called 6 Ways for Men to Thrive in Midlife. And you also are the chairman of New Life Ministries, which works with, you talked before the break about your marriage enrichment seminars, and we were just talking about that aspect of criticism. I think that is something that parents need to encourage children not to do,
yes.
And they need to not do it of their children.
Right.
It takes more love and joy out of life than any other thing that we do.
No, I make a big stand for that, and I can't say it enough. And we have found that when a person makes a commitment not to be critical, they open the other person up. I'll have a woman say to me, you know, he just shut down. He won't talk to me. He doesn't want to express his emotions. And then as I talk with her, I'll hear her tell me some things that are pretty destructive to a man, and want they motivate him to protect himself.
Yes,
and
he's
got to
shut down.
So I'll say, hey, look, next time, no matter what he says, why don't you just say this? Well, tell me more. Or, well, is there anything else? Versus, well, that's just you, or that's, you know, whatever it is that she uses to get him to stop talking. But then she's complaining that he doesn't open up. But I think if you can be safe, if he can feel that you're not going to shame him or put him down, he's going to have a much higher chance of being that verbal, expressive man that I think most women want to be married to.
Yes. Let's finish this, you know, these 4 concepts. Like you have remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, remember some mistakes you made. And remember how you made those mistakes and what you learned from it, or remember that you didn't learn anything from it, and come up with, well, what could I have learned? What would have made that different if I had looked at it in a different way?
Now, do you think that men are by nature less introspective than women?
No, I don't. I think men are very introspective / ruminating, and most of that introspection is in one extreme or the other. It's all the things that I hate about myself, all the things I regret that I did, really being hard on yourself. Or it's this state of denial where more like the typical narcissist is just running through their head all the great things they've done. And you know, if you ever see a narcissist, and I'm trying to think of an example of a narcissist in the media this day and age. Well, let's see. Okay, there might be a couple. But really at the heart of that is a pretty deep wound. And this is, you know, this is kind of their defective way of dealing with that deep hurt and that deep wound. And really, if you shut down all of that narcissism without putting something underneath it, you know, you'd probably see them be in the back ward of some mental hospital. This is to prop themselves up because somebody didn't when they were younger. Now, I'm not saying that we want to use our heartache and stuff from childhood as an excuse for anything. But I am saying there is a reality to the way that we raise kids. You know, my experience, the person that works for me, they homeschooled their kids. I have a degree in education. If I could have stayed home, I would have homeschooled my kids. Just can't tell you how much value I place in it. Most of the homeschool parents aren't the violent, the bitter, the angry folks. They're really usually good parents. And yet they're exposed to their kids more. The ones that are only exposed to their kids a couple hours a night, so often those kids evaluate themselves by the lack of time that they have from a parent or the critical voices that they hear. And, you know, a mother of a child, when the father's going through midlife, it's not good to be negative about him.
That's
but
right.
But it's very good for her to try to help a child understand that we all go through different phases and that dad is going through a really tough time right now. And don't evaluate yourself on the tough time. Don't think that he's going to be like this forever. You know, try to position it as something that you understand as the wife. It's not something to be afraid of. It's not going to run away with us. We're going to be okay. That's the kind of understanding that you could help a child have when dad is making this midlife correction.
Yeah, and I mean, really, sometimes we've just discounted it, you know. They joke about it. Men will say, oh, I bought this because it's my midlife crisis, you know. And 10 years later, well, I'm going through another midlife crisis. I'm going to buy another car or whatever. But there's some physiological reasons that are happening. I mean, we're at that age facing our own mortality.
Yes.
Hormones are changing again, just like in our adolescence. So there are some things going on.
And one of the things that every man has to kind of answer for himself is, am I able to make these adjustments to some of these new limitations that I'm starting to experience? Some things aren't working the same way they used to. I have some restrictions, limitations. And that's a big thing to be able to answer. And he needs a wife to help him adjust and understand that she's not evaluating everything on his physical strength or whatever. But if we can work together through this, then guess what? He's going to be there for her when she goes through menopause, which is going to be a big adjustment for both of them to make,
yes,
too.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you so much. I've been talking with Steve Arterburn, and you can go to the website...
Newlife.com.
Newlife.com. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I said that before.
Or 1-800-NEW-LIFE is another... you can call the 800 number or go to the
okay,
website.
So there you have it. Thank you so much for being with
Thank
us.
Thank you, Rose. Great to be with you. And you keep up the good work.
Yes, I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Education Current, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.